Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
Welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 102. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital. And I will be joined momentarily by my blog post pilfering co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. The Showrunner is brought to you by the all-new StudioPress Sites, a turnkey solution that combines the ease of an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. It's perfect for bloggers, podcasters, and affiliate marketers, as well as those selling physical products, digital downloads, and membership programs. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why over 200,000 website owners trust StudioPress. Go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress right now. That's rainmaker.fm/studiopress. So you want to become a better podcaster. I know this because you're listening to The Showrunner. I also know that you fear becoming a better podcaster. And I know this because you must change to become better, and to fear change is to be human. But what if I told you that you only need to change one thing, one small thing, to achieve your goal of being a better podcaster? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because it's not just theory, it's science. One small step really can change you. Unleash the potent force of Kaizen. Now, those are the first six words on the book jacket of One Small Step Can Change Your Life, the bestseller by Robert Maurer. This is exactly what I want this episode to do. Unleash the potent force of Kaizen in your podcasting. Kaizen is a Japanese word that represents the process of achieving sustained success through small, steady steps. The concept originated in Depression-era America, actually, before being introduced in Japan by General Douglas MacArthur after World War II. There, it took hold and became a driving force in Japan's economy, which grew into one of the most robust the world has ever seen. Now, thanks to books like Maurer's, the concept has gone from macro to micro and become a proven driver for individual development. So let's go even more micro. Rather than change your life, that's what the book is for, I want to help you change as a showrunner in one small but significant way. And sometimes all it takes is one tiny step to propel you with momentum on a path of continuous development. But you have to take that first step. So in this episode, Johnny and I are going to present to you a handful of ideas for small changes that you can make right now that will improve your podcasting and make you a better showrunner. Mr. Naster, are you ready to hop in and deliver these ideas for small changes that everyone can make starting today?
Yes, I absolutely am.
Let's do it. All right, so Johnny, let's go through these. And actually, perhaps before we go through these, do you want to give folks a quick explanation of the genesis for this episode? Because obviously, yeah, that intro was a little different than how we normally do it.
Right. So this was Jared and I trying to decide which topic we should cover today, and I had recently read a post that Jared had wrote on Copyblogger back in, I think, a couple years ago now.
Yeah, 2015.
And it seemed perfect. It seemed like it was for writers and for writing on Copyblogger, which seems to fit. But it was perfect for podcasters and showrunners, I felt. So I was just like, hey, how about this? And I literally just took his headline that he had written and switched writer for podcaster. And he was like, sounds good. So that's the blog post that I stole. And we seemed like it was probably okay, seeing as it was Jared's blog post originally. So yes. here we are. That was the point. And then Jared sort of used the intro and then reworked it into show running.
Well, and as we're going to talk about, even if you hadn't stolen it from me, if you had stolen it from somebody else, that's still okay with proper credit given and done in the right context. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit, actually, is one of the small steps that we recommend. So let's start from the top. And the first step is really kind of a macro shift in mindset, in a sense. But it's thinking of yourself more as a showrunner than a podcaster. And we covered this in our last episode, in episode 101. We kind of use that opportunity, Showrunner 101, to go back to the basics and to redefine what a showrunner is, what the difference is between a showrunner and a podcaster, and what the four essential elements of a remarkable show are: authenticity, usefulness, sustainability, and profitability. But Johnny, to you, you know, when we talk about this mindset shift from showrunner or from podcaster to showrunner, what's maybe one really specific small way, like a thought or a small action that someone can take to help solidify this shift in mindset?
I guess the action is, it is a mindset shift, so it's not so much an action, but it's really, I think, not thinking of yourself so much within the context of your show, and extending how you create and what you create, and how you produce it and how you distribute it, thinking about the audience. To me, that's a huge difference in show running. Show running is the focus on other people. And when you're a podcaster, the whole thing is about you and your podcasting. And it really, I think, limits your sort of mindset of creating something, a show that can transform or inspire or help or teach for the audience. So really, it is just always sort of projecting outwards rather than always inwards as just focusing on me, the podcaster.
Yeah, I love that. Again, when we talk about what a showrunner is, it's the person who's responsible for an audience experience. So thinking less about yourself and thinking more about the audience experience. You know, for your next episode, what is something I can do to improve the experience for the audience? You know, find that one thing. And by doing that one time, you've now thought like a showrunner. And do it another time, you know, you start to create a trend. You start to create a habit. And that's what you want to do. So I think that's a really good one, John. Okay, so let's go on now to the second step, and that is to create a new system for production. We talk a lot about, obviously, the investment of time that you make to become a successful showrunner, and time is a very valuable resource. And so when we talk about systems, we talk about efficiency, it's all about being able to do more in less time. So what is something that you can do to do more in less time? One big step that I made, I don't know, maybe 12 months ago, 14 months ago, is really making smart and consistent use of text expanders. So for different blog post templates that I have, or show notes templates that I have for the assembly call, for the showrunner, for the digital entrepreneur, I have the template all ready to go, and I can just type in showrunner blog, and the entire show notes template comes out. You know, just last night, I was putting together an episode of Assembly Call Radio. I type out AC Radio. The entire template for my show notes is there. I've got a couple spots where I fill it in. Bam. It's ready to go. It's really helped me to do that part of the production process quicker. And it doesn't have to be as small a thing as a text expander. You know, you could also take the step of hiring an editor. And again, you know, we recommend this after a certain period of time where you've learned how to edit your own show and you know how that process goes. But then maybe you're at that point where it's time to hire an editor. So that could be a step for you that makes you a better and more productive podcaster, because now you have additional time to do other things and really work on that audience experience. But creating some new element, some new system for production that helps you to be more efficient is a very, very productive step that you can take. What other ideas, Johnny, do you have for steps that people can take to get better at the production element?
Yeah, so really think about automation in this sense. I mean, it's 2017. Automation is taking over our lives with like Facebook bots to just sort of automation to do so many different things. You don't have to think really big in this sense, just think small. And when I think back 2 years ago when I started using it, it seemed so silly when I kind of came across it, but The amount of time it saved me is insane at this point because I've used it for 2 years and hundreds of episodes. And that's Charlie App, which I believe is just charlieapp.com. It's completely free. And all it does is it connects to my Gmail email account and calendar, and every appointment, so every interview that I'm going to do or else other people's shows that I'm going to be on, an hour before, you can set it to be whatever you want. It sends you a breakdown of the person, anything it can collect from around the web, so all their social media. It gives you a feed of it so you can sort of go through and see what they've been talking about, their business, their like where they work, their LinkedIn, and also if they've been sort of in the news or written anywhere, it will show you that. You have all this information literally handed to you to start, which that probably only would take me 10 to 15 minutes every single time to gather myself. But 15 minutes over 200 episodes is enormously beneficial. And again, it seemed really small and insignificant when I started with it, but it's completely like just it's made the process so much easier and so much less sort of a drag for me. And just it's made me better because I can focus on other things. So just think of tiny little amounts of automation that you can use. There's websites now that are like even bringing together bots, and bots are like, I don't even know exactly how bots are made, like in a technical sense, but it's insane what they can do for you. And like, I have a bot right now, literally looking for flights to Europe from Toronto within a certain month window. And it's searching for flights that drop below a certain price. And it just messages me on Facebook as soon as it finds it with a link. That to me is amazing. And it's those small things that really do sort of change the whole podcaster to showrunner and then also extend your ability to actually focus on the things that really truly will move you ahead and not the little bits of tasks that just kind of take up production.
That's awesome. And you know, when we think about adding efficiencies, you know, for instance, when we get done with an episode, right, a lot of times we want to post that on social media. And, you know, if we have to go one by one, that can take a little bit of time. Well, that's the type of place, you know, when you see that you're doing something over and over again, you know, with a blog post, with a podcast episode, that's something where maybe you want to look for a plugin to help you do that. Right. And so one of the reasons I'm actually getting ready to start a new site, you know, not going to reveal the details of it yet. I'm kind of working on it on the side. Who knows if it'll actually get up. But I decided to put it on StudioPress Sites. And one of the reasons I decided to do that was because I did want to have a little bit of flexibility to, you know, be able to find plugins that gave me a really specific feature set that would help me be more efficient. And I think you have to be careful when you do that because plugins, a lot of times the search for plugins can take up a lot of time and actually end up wasting time. And depending on what plugins you install on your site, they can make your site bloated, they can add potential security risks. So you got to be kind of careful with plugins. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I like StudioPress Sites is because there's actually a list of StudioPress recommended partner plugins, which can really help you, you know, kind of find those, you know, features or elements of efficiency that will help you get more done in less time. So that's one reason why I put this new site on StudioPress Sites. And as I mentioned, you know, in the beginning, StudioPress Sites really does, you know, it gives you kind of the ease and the benefits of an all-in-one website builder, but still gives you that flexible power of WordPress. Johnny, you and I were talking about that before we went on the air, which is really nice. And that's what makes it a good potential platform for podcasters, for you listening to this. So if you're looking, you know, possibly to change where your site is hosted, if you're getting ready to launch a new site or show and you're looking for where it should be, you should definitely check out StudioPress. And so if you go to rainmaker.fm/StudioPress, again, rainmaker.fm/StudioPress, you can see all the details there and compare it against whatever else you're thinking about using. And I think you'll be able to see why StudioPress is growing and why so many people are choosing it. So again, that's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress.
As an interesting sort of addition to this and to the idea that whether podcast sponsorships and advertisements work or not. So hearing Jared speak about StudioPress Sites for the last several months on this show every single week and sort of how he segues so fluidly and it just fits so nicely. I actually moved Hack the Entrepreneur to StudioPress Sites last weekend, which has been amazing. And so I just have to say, I don't think I would have done it if I hadn't been on this show and had this over and over and over. And it was like, wow, he really makes a good case here. I'm going to try this out. And so, I mean, if you want to see a site that it Studio Press sites, I mean, Hack the Entrepreneur is now on it. You can see it. It looks completely different than when it was on Rainmaker, but that's only because of the theme. I had a custom theme over there and I don't anymore. I'm pretty much using an out of the box theme with Studio Press sites, just with some tweaks. I changed the colors of the text and stuff just to match my brand. But that's it. I'm still working out kinks from moving over. But yeah, it's been a great process. And so if you want to check out a site that's on it, you can go to Hack the Entrepreneur or just go straight over to that other link that Jared keeps talking about.
The power of repeated exposure to an advertising message.
Start buying your own sponsors.
I mean, I convinced myself. So, mm-hmm. You know. So,
it
yes.
It works.
Yes. Okay, so we are rolling through here and talking about small steps that you can take that will make a really big impact. And again, it's this idea of Kaizen. And it's not just that the step itself is going to make a big impact. It's also that sometimes that first step leads to the next step, which leads to the next 10 steps. And all of a sudden, you've made all these changes and this new thing has become a habit and it's just really, really helped you out. So, but we really want to just help you with this episode, inspire you to take one step. And we definitely want you to tell us what that step is. So feel free to tweet us at Jared Morris, at John Naster, as you're listening to this episode or after you listen or a month after you listen and decide to take that step. And let us know what it is because we're really interested in it. So we've talked about shifting your perspective from podcaster to showrunner. We've talked about creating a new system for production. Now, let's kind of take this idea of shifting your perspective again, but I want to talk about it in a different way. So I want to talk about shifting your perspective when it comes to actually producing your podcast episode. When you are behind the microphone, when you are talking about your content. And this is something that we've talked about before, but if you're not doing it, it's really something that you should do. Imagine talking to just one person, especially in those moments when you find yourself a little bit nervous to get behind the microphone, a little bit maybe not quite as prepared as you want to be, or you're having that moment of trepidation that we all feel. It's kind of like that fear of the blank page when you're a writer. It's kind of that same thing that we have sometimes as showrunners when we get behind the microphone and there's a little bit of fear. Just imagine talking to one person. Even put their picture up so that you can really picture just talking to them and just kind of pretend or imagine that you're trying to explain your content to that person. Okay, and maybe you even do a practice run and you just talk it out with them, give yourself a chance to fumble over it a little bit, talk through it, you know, get those words out, get a little bit more comfortable with them, and then record the second time. But the important thing here is to shift your perspective instead of thinking about, you know, the 20 people or the 200 people or the 5,000 people who are going to download the episode and how many it's going out to. Think of that one person. The target person, the ideal person for this episode, for that content, and just simply explain it to them like they're a friend that you're sitting across from at lunch. And a lot of times what that does is it relaxes you, puts you more at ease, and you just talk. And the nice thing is sometimes the process of doing that can also help you uncover areas, or maybe you don't know your stuff well enough, or maybe you fumble over this a little bit and you can go prepare a little bit more, but it just puts you more at ease and reminds you that every podcast episode is just a conversation with another person. It's you and then the sound of your voice going into that individual person's ear, and you want to treat it like that as much as you can. And that small shift in perspective can really help you relax and be more your authentic self when you're talking into the microphone, which is the way to build that connection with an audience that we're all trying to get when we create podcast episodes.
I love it. I love it because it segues interestingly into the next point. So talking to that one person, making that true connection and making it easier to find your sort of true voice, which leads us then into steal something from another showrunner. this is a tricky one, right? Because the struggle I find as like a showrunner is that idea of finding sort of your true voice, right? I mean, struggle as a human being is finding that sort of true voice. But then also bringing in the idea of creativity and taking ideas, like sort of disparate, separate ideas, and bringing them together as a new idea. This is how we create things. This is how we create art. This is how science works. We build off of other ideas. And it's essential, but it's also has to be sort of worked around the idea that from that, you have to pull out your true self. It's such a tricky one, this, because I think we all start, when we start, we really probably, without even trying, we steal too much from other people. And that's typically voice and sort of how we're doing it and how we want to perform. But as we, I think, progress, and then we make this sort of mindset shift to finding that, I think that the way to do this confidently and to be able to steal ideas from other showrunners is to, again, go back to that idea of speaking to the one person, because then it's your person, it's your audience member, not wherever it is you're stealing from. And then I guess you could even extend it out further and take, not that you're stealing voice or things from like another showrunner, but just sort of taking ideas and sort of building off of them. I guess like we're doing exactly with this episode, which is we took an idea of Jared's from, and Jared didn't even have to be on this show necessarily, but a blog post from 2 years ago and adapted it to you, our audience member, and to ourselves as showrunners. And that I think helps, I think it helps us as showrunners, and it also helps us sort of find the voice of ourselves through this, I guess, exercise of taking your idea and transforming it into being valid for showrunners. That was a lot of words and not a lot really.
No, I thought it was good. I thought it was good. I think the key with this whole idea of quote unquote stealing is to not overcomplicate it. Like, I think stealing from another showrunner can be a really great way to infuse some enthusiasm into your show when maybe you're not quite feeling it, right? Like, really go out with the intention, you know, maybe you've done, you know, 10, 15 episodes and you're looking for kind of that next thing. You're not quite sure where to go. Now go out with the intention to steal something, right? Listen to some other shows that are in your market, that are in your industry. See which one like really gets you thinking. And, you know, take that topic idea, give credit, you know, that they talked about it, they gave you this idea, and then give your take on it. Because that's why people listen to your show. It's not like you have to come up with a brand new idea every single time, but you want to give your spin on that idea. And so maybe there's a topic that you didn't think of or a take that you didn't think of, and then it got you thinking down the road. Well, steal that and then keep going. And what's nice about that then is as you, and you should stay a podcast consumer, you know, as you kind of go through that and start learning how that process works, you'll start to identify when you listen to something on another show that might work for yours, you'll start to identify and really understand how you're then going to fit that into your show. And it doesn't have to be a topic thing either. You know, you can listen to, say, a political podcast, and you're doing a podcast about health and fitness, but maybe a format that they have, you know, the way that they do their Q&As, and you're like, man, that would work really well for my show. Take that and incorporate it into your show. You know, or maybe you're talking with someone and they tell you about a system that they have. We talked earlier about systems for production. Take that idea, steal it, and incorporate it into what you're doing. So a lot of times, I think especially early on, some of us, I know I do this myself, we can kind of feel like we're on an island, you know, we want to kind of try and go and figure everything out on our own. And you do want to get your hands dirty and edit your own show and do some of these things on your own. But that doesn't mean that you have to figure everything out on your own. You know, people have figured out a lot of different things, whether it comes to topics or format or processes. And so part of what you want to do as a showrunner is not recreate the wheel every time, but pick and choose the stuff that you learn from other people that works best for yourself and amalgamate them into your own show, your own format, your own processes. And that can be a lot of, again, stealing from other showrunners. But, you know, again, you do it once, and it can be something that improves your efficiency, gives you new enthusiasm, gives you new idea for the audience, helps you, you know, take the next step with your format. And then as you get better at it, get more comfortable with it, you'll become better at identifying what those things are that you should steal and better than at incorporating them into your own show in an authentic way.
Yeah, and even like stealing not just from like podcasts in other sort of markets or subjects, but like from everywhere. It's amazing how much like we get sort of stuck in our own sort of like ecosystems that we're living and working in and like reading about or enjoying those shows. And we sort of take for granted what we all know, but then you go to like a different, just to a completely different subject like sports or music. And it's the fans or the listeners over there don't know the same things, meaning that you can take ideas from those places and bring them back to your market and they're fresh and new. And it's not that you're stealing the ideas, but you're just bringing in this fresh perspective. It's funny because you can't see me because obviously this is audio. But before we came up to this topic, I have 5 books on my desk that I went through, like 1 comedy interview book, 2 business books, and like this other strange book. But I was looking for ideas for what we could cover in today's show in something that had nothing to do with podcasting. And it's a great way. And it's a great way to sort of push yourself to even want to read new things, want to consume different TV shows or whatever it is when you're hanging out at the park. Think of things and try and bring those ideas back to your marketplace. And as a showrunner, one thing it pushes me, I find, to be sort of more present in the moment when I'm reading or out or doing whatever it is I'm doing, because I'm always trying to take in that perspective though, but as a showrunner, so that I could hopefully bring it back to you here. And so steal ideas from everywhere you can, and then bring them back to the perspective of your audience and share them.
Yep. And to bring it back to the goal of this episode, go do it one time, right? Take that one small step, you know, commit yourself to stealing one thing, whether it's a process, you know, an idea, format idea, whatever it is, add it to your show, see how that feels, and then see if that starts to create a trend and helps make you more comfortable doing it. Okay. Let's go on now with our last one. Okay. Our last small step that you can take, and that is to order a set of bathtub markers. Now, I know that sounds kind of random, but it speaks to kind of a larger idea. But we often talk, Johnny, you and I have talked about this, how sometimes our best ideas come to us when we're showering, right? And why is that? Well, because typically when we're showering, we don't have our phone in the shower. You know, we don't have a lot of distractions. So our mind is kind of just free, you know, and it's kind of taking this moment away from distraction to synthesize all these different ideas that we've been encountering, things that we've been doing. And sometimes we have those eureka moments and these incredible ideas happen. But, you know, I don't know if you ever have this happen, but sometimes you have this great idea and you're like, crap, don't forget the idea. Don't, you know, okay, let me hold on to it right there. Don't lose it. And so, you know, you're forced to either like jump out of the shower wet and dripping and try and like type it into your phone real quick, or just sit there and like repeating it to yourself over and over in your head, which now, of course, you lose the ability to get other ideas in there. So what's something that you can do? If you get a set of bathtub markers, you can actually write the idea on your bathtub wall. Now, full disclosure, I do not use bathtub markers anymore, but back in September of 2015 when I wrote this post, I did do this for about 6-7 months and captured some really good ideas this way. But the big idea here is not, you know, whether you order bathtub markers or not, because even just the way that your bathtub tile is set up, it might not accept writing on it. So that may not even work. But the idea here is to create a process for capturing ideas and knowledge, and to not pass those moments up. So the next time you're in the shower and you have that idea, you know, as soon as you get out, you know, write it down, type it in Evernote, use Google Keep, whatever it is. When you're out on a walk and you have that idea, don't just let the idea go. Don't just trust yourself to remember it when you need to remember it later, but capture that idea in the moment, because those ideas can be gold that can really help you build something great later on. But do it that first time, you know, if this isn't something that you normally do, and see if that way works, and then maybe use that as now a process for how you capture ideas and build knowledge moving forward.
Google Keep. This you mentioned that sort of in passing. This is like a new app I discovered like 2 weeks ago.
I like it.
Made by Google. It's completely free on your phone, but it just automatically like makes checklists. Like you can either make a list by typing it. You can turn it into a checklist and then just literally type it, like click on anything and it disappears. It goes to the bottom and shows you that it's been done. You can do audio messages and you can do... and you can share it out to your like Google Docs, anything that you want. So it's in, this goes back to almost like 10 episodes ago where we did that episode about giving yourself more time to think. It's interesting because I haven't thought about the shower in a long time, but I don't come up with ideas in the shower anymore. I literally, that time is like 5 minutes or whatever it is, or 10 minutes if it's cold out, of just like no sort of thought, like almost like meditation and just enjoying it. Because I think that is because of the fact that I'm constantly, constantly, constantly dumping ideas. Everything goes now into Google Keep. I was doing it just into like a notepad thing on my computer before, but it was harder to search through. And then like cue cards and post-it notes and notebooks. I never go out of my house without having a little tiny notebook and pen. Because some things I just feel like they need to be go on paper rather than on my phone. But when, like with my website right now, it's like, as I come up with like, oh yeah, I gotta make sure that landing page works, I literally have a thing on my Google Keep and I'm just like creating lists. And then when I get 20 minutes that I want to work on my site, I go like, okay, I'll do this right now. And I just check it off. But it's amazing what it does to your brain, because it allows, when it is time to just not be thinking about your show or not be thinking about work, like in the shower, it's the space is there and I just don't have to think about it, because I know that I've just constantly been dumping ideas. And so when it comes time to just think or to not think and just go for a walk, you can do it. So again, this is a tiny little shift, but it will completely transform your thinking and your brain and how it works and your ability to sort of just relax and turn things off when it's time to turn them off.
Yep. So to recap, think like a showrunner, not a podcaster. Make that shift in mindset. Go back and listen to episode 101 if you haven't yet. Create a new system for production. And again, all of these are take one step, do one thing to create a better system for production. Shift your perspective in terms of talking to one person the next time you sit down to record. Steal something from another showrunner and order a set of bathtub markers, or in other words, take a step to create a better process for capturing ideas that you can then turn into either knowledge or plans of action later. Because I'm glad you mentioned that, John. It's not always about like a big idea that we want to remember for later. Sometimes it's like a really small thing, like, oh crap, I need to go update that landing page. Just write it down so you get it out of your head and you have it out there. I'm really glad that you mentioned that. Excellent. Do these, and hey, let us know. We want to know when you take action on these ideas, and let us know other ones. You know, do you have other ideas for small steps that showrunners can take to immediately become, you know, more productive and better podcasters, and that will hopefully help lead to much bigger steps and trends down the road? Let us know. Send us a tweet, because we would love to hear from you. And then, of course, make sure that you go to showrunner.fm/report. Put your email address in there. Get on the email list so that you get all the updates from us. And more important than that, you can get the Beginner's Guide to Launching a Remarkable Podcast, which is a no-frills 9-step plan to getting your podcast off the ground, as well as the Autoresponder series that will force you to confront fears that may be holding you back as a showrunner, which is always important to do. Again, that's showrunner.fm/report. Well, Johnny, thank you for pilfering my old blog post and coming up with this idea, because I think it was a good one.
It was good. I'm glad. It's a great article too, so I'll link to it in the show notes for you. You can find it at showrunner.fm and you can give it a read, because it's also great for writing and you can see what ideas you can steal from it.
Perfect. All right. Thank you for listening to The Showrunner, and we will talk to you next week on another brand new episode.
Take care.